Well, take God's Word, if you will, and turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, and I'll start by reading just one verse, and then I'm going to move on to talk about a joyful heart. The title of the message this evening is A Joyful Heart. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Now, I want to tell you tonight, I believe with all my heart, that God desires this life that we live as Christians to be fun. Now, when I say fun, I'm not meaning in a frivolous way, a frivolous way. God doesn't want us to walk around always frowning and always looking down and talking about how bad things are. Sometimes we need to talk about how bad things are and look for remedies. That's not being in a negative mindset, but that's just like what we need to do sometimes. But the truth is this: God wants life to be fun. A person who is always down really is a contradiction to what it means to be a Christian. If somebody's always has a sour face, if their demeanor is always downcast, if what they have to say is always negative and is critical, they are a walking contradiction to what a Christian is all about. Likewise, a person who turns on the joy to impress other people is also a contradiction to what it means to be a Christian. So you say, "Chris, if you're downcast, and if you are an old sourpuss, and just everything's negative and you're always critical, that's not what a Christian looks like and appears like." That's correct. You say, "Well, Chris, if you're not just joyful and happy and bouncing off the wall, you're saying that's not what a Christian is like." That's exactly right. A true, genuine Christian with a joyful heart, he doesn't imitate it. He doesn't try to conjure it up. He's joyful. It comes from the Spirit of God living in him, in her, unhindered. So, if you are downcast all the time, if you are negative all the time and complaining all the time, and you don't have anything good to say about anything, you need to know either you're not saved, you're not truly born again, but even if you are truly saved, I can tell you this, you're hurting your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at the same time, I don't want you to go out these doors and try to have the appearance of being joyful and try to bounce off the walls and impress everybody with your enthusiasm. Because, see, a lot of that can just be a bunch of huff. You know what I mean. It's manufactured. It's really not real. A Christian is a person who has been saved by the grace of God, and now has God in the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of him. God wants us to be joyful, but this joy only comes from his life being lived out in and through our lives. It's not something you can buy across the prescription counter at the drugstore. It's not something you can buy at the liquor store. It's not something you can buy anywhere. A joyful heart comes from a person in the presence of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. When you think about joy, you see, joy is an internal cause. Real, genuine joy comes from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And when it says the fruit of the Spirit, that means it's the activity of the Holy Spirit of God in you and in me. If you go out to an orange orchard, you don't see any apples. You see oranges. If you go out to a pecan orchard, you don't see any oranges. You see pecans. Why? Because it's a pecan orchard. Why? Because it's an apple orchard or an orange orchard. It produces what's there. If you tell others, "I'm a child of God, I'm a member of the local church," what you're saying is, "I am a Spirit-filled child of God." So therefore, they have a right to look for joy in your life. Real, genuine, not manufactured joy, but real joy, and not coming from some of the drugs that we have today that are legal. Not coming from that. I mean, you can be real joyful when you got something floating through your system, but what happens when that wears off? You know what happens? You say, well, I'm down in the dumps. Well, that's because it's not real. It's been manufactured by something that's altered your physical state, by something you've put down your throat. And so, joy is an internal cause. But now you say, what is happiness, Chris? What is happiness? I like happiness like anybody else likes happiness. Happiness comes when everything's going your way. Everything's going my way. Sometimes I sing that. And when Kelly and McLaren are complaining about something, I'll start singing. I'll say, everything's going my way. And just kind of pick at them, you know. But you know, when everything's going well, it's not hard to be happy. And I like it when it goes well. But you know what? I know this. In all honesty, I do know this. You can have joy when things are not going so well. You can really and genuinely be joyful when things are not going well. How did Paul and Silas, how did they sing in the prison? And when they were in prison, I'm talking, it's not like the prisons we have today. Color television, nice clean linen. I read in the paper not long ago about a man who committed a crime so he could go to prison, because he wanted to get off the streets. Back in Paul's day, you wouldn't do that, because those prisons were just simply caves. You were chained inside of these damp, dark caves. Well, Paul still was joyful. He was singing because he was joyful from the Holy Spirit who comes and lives inside of the believer. That's what makes a joyful heart. Joy is an internal cause. Happiness is an external cause. Circumstances, when they're favorable, everybody can be happy. But what about when everything falls apart? Can you still be joyful? Now, the word heart in Hebrew psychology is the spring and source of all action. So, to get the heart right, you must get the life right. To get your heart right, so you can have a joyful heart, you must get your life right. Now, if you are struggling with joy and happiness not being a part of your life, you must go to the heart of the problem. If you're not joyful, and I'm not talking about manufactured, I'm not talking about happiness because everything's going your way. If you're not joyful, even when you don't understand what's going on, even when you can't explain, even when the situation is not favorable for you, if you're not joyful, it's either you've never been born again, or in most cases you are born again, but you're not willing, or you don't understand what it means to let God be God in you, bringing you His joy in the midst of any circumstance. So, number one, joyfulness comes from a heart of purity. Joyfulness comes from a heart of purity. You see, a heart is made pure at salvation. It's made pure at salvation. If you want to have a joyful heart that's genuine, my friend, you must be born again. That starts everything. Why? Because the Bible teaches us in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is desperately wicked. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're born with a wicked, deceitful heart that is deceitful above all things. So if you're going to have a joyful heart, the number one thing is you need to have a heart made pure at salvation. In Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Paul, speaking of the Gentiles, said this. He said, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them, talking about the Gentiles. No, we're all Gentiles. By giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So, if you're going to have a joyful heart, first of all, you must have a heart of purity that comes at the moment of salvation. It's done by the inner working of the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8? He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, a joyful heart is a heart that's been invaded by the Spirit of God. It is a heart made pure at salvation. But not only that, it's also a heart kept pure by confession and repentance of sin after salvation. You say that again. Okay, I will. It is a heart that is kept pure by confession and repentance of sin after salvation. You say, well, that's morbid, Chris. You're telling me I need to confess and repent after salvation? Absolutely. I've confessed and repented today. Every single day, there should be confession and repentance. If I'm sitting on this front row here and God brings something to my mind where I've sinned during the day at some point by something I said, something I thought, something I've done, but by the time I leave that front pew and get up here to preach, I say, Lord, forgive me. I confess. That means to agree with God that whatever this is wrong. Lord, forgive me of that. And by the time I get up here and say, take God's word and turn to whatever, I've dealt with God. You say, that's too simple. That's too cheap. That's cheap grace. Well, listen, tell me, how do you do it? How long do you roll on the floor? How long do you, like the monks did back in the old days, beat your head against the wall? No, confession and repentance, my friend, can happen in a moment. Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ, who was the founder, used to practice what's called spiritual breathing. In other words, confession was exhale. Confession, I'm agreeing with God that what He's put on my heart, where I have sinned, I'm agreeing with Him that it is wrong. It's against Him, number one. That's when you exhale. And when you inhale, you're receiving the forgiveness that God has provided on the cross 2,000 years ago. That's called spiritual breathing. And it's a practice that many people do. Been doing it for 30 or 40 years. The breathing has nothing to do with anything other than it's something practical you can do to keep a close account with God. And so there is a heart that's kept pure by confession and repentance of sin after salvation, because we've all sinned since we were saved. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That means He's the one who can do this. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Some. It's all. Now remember, when He was talking, John was talking in chapter 1, verse 9, who was His audience? He was talking to Christians. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. 1 John 1, 9 is not for an unbeliever. It's for the believer. It's for somebody who is saved. That's what you do when you sin after salvation. You confess it, knowing that God has dealt with even that on the cross. You see, all of your sin were placed upon Jesus, and when He died on the cross and He said, it is finished, what He said was, I have dealt with the sin, singular, that you were born with, and I have dealt with all actions of sins, plural, that you will ever commit, all in one act on the cross at Calvary. And so, a heart kept pure by confession and repentance of sin after salvation. So, number one, joyfulness comes from a heart of purity. But number two, joyfulness comes from a heart of unity. It comes from a heart of unity. There's a unity with God. You see, we must give way in our hearts to the control of the Holy Spirit who's within us. We give ourselves away to His absolute control. Now, Paul talks in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the flesh and the spirit. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18, I want you to listen to this. Paul said this, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit." You say, "Chris, I thought that was Satan." No, he's talking about the flesh. He's not talking about Satan. Don't blame everything on Satan. Satan can only be in one place at a time. Don't blame it on Satan. If you continue to blame when you sin on Satan, you will never take responsibility for your personal sin. It is our flesh most of the time. We're carried away by our own evil desire. Paul says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." So, joyfulness comes from a heart of unity. Now, one of the lessons that we do with people who write in, and we send them lessons, and they go back and forth with us through the mail doing lessons. One of the lessons shows a picture of two people with boxing gloves on. And one of them, it says the flesh, and one of them says the Holy Spirit. And it shows that they're boxing one another. And there's a picture that shows that's what's going on inside of a real, genuine Christian. That the flesh wants to have its way, and the Spirit wants to have its way. But then as you read the lesson and go through the lesson a little bit further, it talks about when you give way to the Holy Spirit, He deals a death blow to the flesh and knocks him down. It shows a picture of the flesh lying on the ground and the Spirit alive. Back in the old days, they used to say the flesh and the Spirit was like a black horse and a white horse, and whichever one you feed the most is the strongest. I want to encourage you, if you want to have a joyful heart and you want to have unity with God, with that freedom of spirit, you have to let go and let God be all that He is within you. Quit having to have your way. Having to have your way is like a little child who has to be corrected, who has to be disciplined, instead of just simply surrendering to you. It's so many Christians are that way. They have to be rebuked. They have to be disciplined. They're always negative. And if they would just give up to God, there would be joyfulness in their heart that would be real and genuine. They are their own worst enemy. If I could just get that across to so many people. Joyfulness comes from a heart of unity. There's a unity with God. But not only that, there's a unity with others. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." When a person walks in the Spirit, they're not conceited. They don't envy one another. They don't provoke one another. Why? Because they're at unity with God, therefore they're at unity with other people. They're at unity with others. They don't have to have their way. They don't have to be first. They prefer one another. That word prefer means to let others go before you. Let them have their way. We're to prefer one another. There should be a unity with other people. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said this, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." You say, "I want to have a joyful heart." Well, my friend, if you want to have a joyful heart, Joyfulness comes from a heart of purity. A heart made pure at salvation, and a heart kept pure by confession and repentance of sin after salvation. If you want to have a joyful heart, joyfulness comes from a heart of unity. Unity with God and unity with other people. Third and last thing is this. Joyfulness comes from a heart of melody. Joyfulness comes from a heart of melody. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Paul said this. He said, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." But notice what he says. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You say, what is that talking about there? I never will forget, I was in the stacks, the library stacks of the old Mid-America Library, which was downtown in the old Jewish synagogue on Poplar Avenue. And I was reading a book by J.H. Jowett. And he said about this verse that what he's talking about here is spirit-filled utterances of the brethren. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual things, singing, making melody with your heart to God. That's not talking about singing like we do here. That's talking about conversation that is spirit-filled. Spirit-filled utterances of brothers and sisters in Christ. Koinonia. Have you ever been with someone that genuinely is filled with the Spirit of God? And when you listen to them talk and you spend time and relate with them, you feel refreshed when they walk away, and you feel uplifted by what they say. It's because they're Spirit-filled utterances that come from them. Surround yourself as best you can only with those kind of people, and you'll enjoy it more. That's pretty smart, isn't it? Be careful who you select to be your closest friends. Surround yourself with Spirit-filled men and women, and you'll have a joyful heart as you interact with them and as they interact with you. So joyfulness comes from a heart of melody. You see, when the heart knows purity with God, and when the heart knows unity with God, and also with others, there will be a melody in your heart to the Lord. It doesn't mean you're necessarily singing. The Holy Spirit fills a life that is separated from sin and dedicated to God. He fills you with His Spirit. You see, music is not merely instrumental or vocal. Music is a merry heart shining through the eyes and scintillating through the personality of a radiant Christian. It is melody and lyric written by the Master Himself, flowing from a life in harmony with heaven. That's a genuine, joyful heart. Doesn't take a pill. Doesn't take a drink. Doesn't take perfect circumstances. It's not outward. And it's not inward by a substance. It's inward by a person who's the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the answer. You see, joy is not something we pump up. It is simply overflow from what is within, sharing our life with God naturally. You know what an artesian well is? What you want. You know what an artesian well is, right? Have any of you ever drank from an old a farm pump? I have. That's why I'm sanctified. I'm just kidding. That does not sanctify you. But you remember what sits on top of an old farm pump? A little what? A little cup of water, somebody else said. A little Campbell's soup can, a little soup can. You know what I'm talking about. And what's it there for? To prime the pump. So you have to get that can and you have to get a little water in it. Then you put some down the top, and then you pump, and you pump, and you pump. And finally, you'll get that water up. It'll start coming up and it'll start flowing. But you have to do a lot of, you have to pump. You have to work at it to make it come out. But an artesian well is different. Artesian well just comes out, just keeps on coming out, just keeps on coming out. A spirit-filled man or woman with a joyful heart is like an artesian well. They're not working at it. They've ceased striving, and they're letting God who lives in them live through them. That's how you have a joyful heart, even when things may not always be so perfect. It's the Spirit of God. We are to walk, talk, and listen to God. Oswald Chambers said this. I like Oswald Chambers. He said, practice God's presence each day and all through the day by saying, "Speak, Lord," and your life will become a romance with God. And that is true. Practice His presence, because I'm telling you, if you are a child of God, He's in you wherever you go. And He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And if He's in you, your joy has already been made complete in Christ Jesus. Walk in it. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so what? Is he?" That's how to have a joyful heart.